on the on our Friday night fellowship in the college group, we have been studying the book of Mark. And for the past few weeks, we have been on the chapter 10 of Mark. And I thank the Lord that I noticed that most of the brothers and sisters who gather together and do that Bible study, that the heart, I can tell that the hearts of the brothers and sisters are there, and they are earnestly wanting to know the Lord, wanting to know His words more. And as we've been sort of dwelling quite a bit in chapter 10, I've been thinking about that chapter as well. And so this morning we would like to take a look at the last part of chapter 10 of Mark. Mark chapter 10, that story about Bartimaeus received his sight. I think this should be quite familiar, especially to the college group. And also, most likely, they have been meditating on this story. So I think it should be quite relevant and meaningful to us. We'll read from verse 46 to 52. 46 to 52. Mark chapter 10, 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he was going out from Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. And when he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, arise, he is calling for you." And casting aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, I want to regain my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he regained his sight and began following Jesus on the road. So this is the passage we will meditate on this morning. At the beginning of this paragraph, it tells us that Jesus is gone out of Jericho, and at the entrance of Jericho, there is this beggar, and this beggar is a blind beggar. He is sitting by the roadside, begging. And so as far as this beggar is concerned, his handicap is his blindness. And he cannot function like a normal person. And this, in a way, explains why he is a beggar. He has no means of enabling him to make a living. Every day, he would sit at the entrance of Jericho, where many people would go in and out, and he would beg people for money for a living. Now, we know that the city of Jericho was once destroyed by who? Joshua, isn't it? Joshua with his people, the Israelites, when they, after they crossed the river Jordan, they were going to go into the land of promise, the promised land that God has given to his people, and to possess it. But then again, the first city that was standing in the way for the people of God to
to possess the promised land is the city of Jericho. And we know from the story in Joshua that Joshua with the people, and they destroyed the city. And so that it allowed the people of Israel to obtain the land of Canaan, the promised land. Okay? And on the day Joshua destroyed the city, he cursed that city, stating that the man who rise up and build the city of Jericho again, when he will lose his firstborn when he laid the foundation, and he will again lose his youngest son when he set up the gate. So in other words, Jericho is a condemned city. As we can see that this blind beggar sitting at the city entrance begging every day. In a way, you can say that he is living in darkness, literally, but also spiritually too, under the condemned situation every day of his life. Now, where are we at today? Are we able to live a normal Christian life, enjoying the abundant provision in the land of Canaan, and also enjoying the presence of the Lord? Or do we find ourselves living in a condemned city of Jericho, unable to see the light of the light of the Lord, unable to see how the Lord lead us and guide us along our path? The question that we need to ask in terms of application is, what is our spiritual condition? Do we, in other words, have an open fellowship with the Lord, knowing His heart, and also sensing that He is leading and guiding us each and every step of the way? Or are we just like that blind beggar living at the gate of Jericho, spiritually blind to the reality of our true spiritual condition? And I think that's the question we need to ask. Because every time when we read the Bible, if it does not apply to us, then we read the word of the Lord in vain. Now, as we can see in this passage, there is a very different perception of Jesus' identity. Because when the Lord Jesus was proceeding in his journey, then this beggar heard that somebody is coming, and obviously he probably asked, you know, what is this commotion? Who is passing by? And most likely someone from the multitude, those multitude who followed the Lord Jesus, in other words, told Bartimaeus, the beggar, that Jesus is passing through the city. And the interesting thing, if you notice, is that these people, this multitude who followed the Lord Jesus, addressed the Lord Jesus as the Nazarene. So that's one way of looking at the Lord Jesus. Now, as soon as the blind beggar heard that it was Jesus passing through, then immediately he cried out. What did he say? He said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Here we can see that there is a big difference between the two ways of recognizing Jesus. The multitude thorning Jesus along the way, they regard Jesus as the man from Nazareth, an insignificant, despised place. And yet, the blind beggar called the Lord Jesus Son of David. What is the meaning of calling Jesus as the Son of David, brothers and sisters? Now, for the Jews, when they call Jesus as Son of David, they are actually addressing Jesus as the Messiah, the King who is to restore their nation, the King who is to rule over them. Now, there is such a big and interesting contrast in here between the two. The one who are not blind see Jesus as the Nazarene. While the guy, this beggar, who is blind, identify Jesus as the King, as the Messiah. We know that during this time, this is toward the end of the Lord Jesus' public ministry. And in other words, the Lord Jesus has been ministering to the people in that region for over 3 years. And his name and his deeds and his miracles and his teachings, they are all well known to the people. And for those people who have been with him, following him, those multitudes identify him as a Nazarene. Now, outwardly, Jesus has no beauty or majesty to attract the people to him. Nothing in his appearance that the people should desire. In fact, the book of Isaiah described that he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, and men even hide their face from him because he was despised. And the people would not esteem him. That was how Isaiah described the Lord Jesus. This, even the Lord Jesus' own disciple, Nathanael, said that, is there any good thing that can come out from Nazareth? Yes, you know, this Jesus may be a miracle healer. He may be a great teacher. He may even be a prophet. But his outward appearance is not appealing to the natural man. It's not appealing to those one who see him. The question that we need to ask then is, who is the Lord Jesus to you? What is your perception of our Savior? Is he just a religious leader? A generous God? Every time when you have a problem, when you're in trouble, you come to him, you cry out to him, and then he helps you out. I think last Friday, Titus chose a song called Himself. And in it, it says that many times we try to use God. Because we consider him as our helper. And indeed, he is our helper. And he would be delighted to help us. But, I mean, many a times this is the way our perception of the Lord. I talked to one of the young sister a while back. And she said that, well, you know, it is a wonderful thing to become a Christian. Because now I have a passport to go to heaven. And that's wonderful. And that's all she wants. Nothing more. That's all she wants. Many of us, sometimes we consider Jesus as a God on Sunday only, unfortunately. But how do his disciple look at him? How do his disciple look at him? How does John, the disciple who leaned on Jesus' breast, look at him? Now, in 1 John, John said that he has seen, he has beheld, and he has handled the Lord concerning the word of life. And in the Gospel of John, actually John said that we beheld him, the glory of God, full of grace and truth. What is the face of the Lord Jesus that John sees? The face of the Lord Jesus that he sees is a face of grace. It is a face of truth. In other words, when you experience that abundant, undeserving grace, you are actually seeing the face of the Lord Jesus. When all of a sudden, the light of his truth convicted your heart, you are seeing the face of the Lord Jesus. Why is there such a big difference in the way different people identify Jesus differently? The word, the Bible tells us that in John, the Bible tells us that the word became flesh. In other words, inside of this outward non-appealing physical body of the Lord Jesus, God Himself indwelt Him. The fullness of God had bodily indwelt Christ. The Word became flesh, meaning that God actually became a man. And in the process, He made Himself available to sinners like you and me. And the process of doing so is He actually emptied Himself. Now, what did the Lord Jesus empty of? He emptied all of His glory, His honor, His position, His majesty, His worship, all these connecting to His deity. He emptied everything, and He took the form of a born servant. And even in the likeness of man, He came and He made Himself available to you and me. He became a God who is approachable by common people like us. Now, by emptying Himself, one thing that we ought to know, He is not able to empty His deity. Since He is God, it is impossible to empty the very nature of God. And that is why after Peter made a big catch of fish under the instruction of the Lord Jesus, immediately he discovered that Jesus is more than a carpenter's son. He is more than a Nazarene. He realized that he has come into encounter with God Himself. And that is why at that time he knelt before Jesus saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." And this is one who truly see who Jesus really is. Brothers and sisters, if we truly see who Jesus is to us, we will not treat Him lightly. We will not treat Him the way we're treating Him now. We will not deal with Him the way we're dealing with Him right now. He is not just the man from Nazareth. He will not be just a miracle healer or just simply a helper to us. Rather, He is God incarnated in human form. He is the Messiah. He is actually our King. He is actually our Master. If we truly see who Jesus is, if we have the right vision of Him, I'm talking about a right vision. Sometimes our visions are incorrect. We did not see Him the way He is. If we truly come into encounter with the Lord Jesus, we will then cry out the same way as Job. He said, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of my ears, but now my eyes see you. And as a result, I retract. I repent in dust and ashes." This is the reaction of the one who have actually seen the Lord. He repented of himself. He thought that he was a righteous man. Not until he come into encounter with the Holy God, seeing who God is, then he repent himself in dust and ashes. You would think that the way the beggar addressed Jesus as the Messiah, Son of David, would draw sympathy from the people around him. No. The Bible tells us that those people, those multitude around him, sternly tell him to be quiet, to shut up. Those people say, don't cry out like this. Why? Why would they ask the beggar to shut up? Even if they disagree with how the blind beggar addressed Jesus, they do not have to tell him off. They do not have to tell him to shut up. Do they think that the beggar is making a scene, and since he is such a poor blind beggar, he has no right to shout out, to disrupt the proceeding of Jesus' journey? Is that what it is? Maybe this is their intention of shutting him up. But could it also be that they are bothered by the identity the blind beggar addressed the Lord Jesus? You know, as we have said, to the Jews, the meaning of the word Messiah, it means that it is their promised king, God, a promised king who God has sent to save and restore the nation of Israel from the hand of the Roman government. That's what it means when the blind beggar cried out, "Son of David, the Messiah." It means that this is the king that God has sent to deliver them from the hands of the Roman government. You would then ask this question: is this not a good thing? Isn't this what God's people have been waiting for? Now that there is a Messiah who come to deliver them from the hands of the Roman government, is that not a good thing? Would they not? Why would they want to shut him up? Shut this voice up? Are they not waiting for the Messiah to come? If they are the people of God, what is the reason for asking the beggar to shut up? We know that when Herod was seeking for the newly born Messiah, the baby Jesus, the scribes, they said that, well, you know, the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem. But they did not even bother to seek him out. King Herod did, but they did not. These people, the people of God, did not even bother to go and seek the Lord Jesus out. Here, the blind beggar cried. The blind beggar's cry has become so annoying that they feel that they are being threatened in a way. They try to stop him from crying out that way. Obviously, we can tell that they are uncomfortable about the way the beggar called Jesus the Messiah. Why is that so? Could it not be that because they have already been very comfortable with their present condition under the Roman government, that they have no desire for any change? Could it be that they feel threatened both financially and socially if indeed the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, their own King, is to come to restore their nation? But you say, well, wait a minute, they are the chosen people of God. The only hope for their life is for the Messiah to come and to restore all things. Brothers and sisters, you know that this applies to us Christians too. We, the Christians, should be like the Jewish people, waiting for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. If there is someone who wants to acknowledge Christ's position and try to honor Christ, should we not rejoice over this? History tells us that every time when there is a genuine seeking for God to live out the truth in God's words, there is always fierce opposition. We know that it happened to Martin Luther. We know that it happens to Watchman Nee and many, many other countless brothers who are faithful to the Lord. Very often, the unfortunate thing is the strongest opposition comes from within God's people. Isn't this what happened to Paul? If you read the book of Acts, who is trying to stop Paul from preaching the gospel and fight him to the uttermost? It was the Jews. They persecute him and chase him and try to plan to kill him. Brothers and sisters, we need to ask ourselves this question. What is our plan in life? If the Lord is going to come back, isn't that what we're waiting for? But many a time, secretly, we may not want to say it out loud, but secretly, we say, Lord, no, not this time. Don't come back yet. I have my little plan that I have yet to carry out. What is the cry of the blind beggar? He made one prayer request. He made one cry. He said, the cry of mercy. He said, have mercy on me, son of David. And we know that the meaning of asking God for mercy is that God would not give us the punishment we so deserve. The blind beggar, as we have said, is living under a curse, his blindness. This is the meaning of living in Jericho, under a condemned state of life. His prayer to the Lord is, Lord, I do not want to continue to live under this darkness, this blindness, under the condemned condition. Lord, have mercy on me. I don't know how often do you pray to God like this? God, have mercy on me. Sometimes we are in such a failure in our life that the only thing in our prayer to the Lord, the only thing that we can utter before the Lord is, Lord, have mercy on me. Why did Jesus keep silent initially? You know, the interesting thing is, if the people around heard the cry of the blind beggar, certainly being very sensitive in his spirit, the Lord Jesus must have heard his cry too, isn't it? Why did Jesus not rebuke those who tried to stop the blind beggar's cry? Why did he not do that? At the beginning of chapter 10, remember when the people tried to bring the little children to the Lord so that the Lord Jesus can bless them, and the disciples rebuked those people. You know, don't bring them there. And yet the Lord Jesus, no. The Lord Jesus said, let the little children come to me, for such is for the kingdom of God. So, but in here, even though the Lord Jesus has heard the desperate cry of the beggar, he didn't say a thing. And many a times, this is our own personal experience when we cried out to God for mercy, to deliver us from certain weaknesses. God seems to be silent, as if he does not hear us. Why? I believe that the Lord Jesus has heard the beggar's prayer indeed, but he wants to see if he has a determined heart to seek after him. The beggar may give in to the pressure from the people around him. He may just give in. He may just give up because the people sternly ask him to shut up. And in this case, if he back down, he will never be healed of his blindness. We may cry out in our prayer to the Lord for a little while, but then many a times, unfortunately, we shift our attention to something else. You know, today, especially for young people, our attention span is super short. I think you can attest to that. We easily lose focus and we easily lose interest when we give out our pursuit, many a times prematurely. If we do not hear from God, forget it, move on, do something else. Our attention span is so small, it becomes a huge problem, as I can see it. When we pray, do we, brothers and sisters, expect that God would actually respond to us? Or do we drift into something else if we receive no answer from God? However, in the story of this blind beggar, despite the disapproval of the people around him, he cried out all the more. That's what the Bible says. He cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. He would not give up until he received a response from the Lord.
He will not give up.
Even if the Lord say no, he want to hear that from the Lord. He just will not back down. He will not settle for anything less than seeing what the Lord Jesus has to say to him, what the Lord Jesus has to do for him. He insists that he must meet the Lord personally. Now, that's some application for us right there. And you know, this is the last time the Lord Jesus is going to pass through that city. We know that right after this, he would spend his very last week in Jerusalem. And after that, he will be judged, he will be killed, he will be buried. This probably could be the blind beggar's only opportunity to have access to the Lord Jesus. You can feel a sense of desperation in his cry. It is now or never. If I'm not going to see the Lord now, I might never be able to. It's now or never. Brothers and sisters, do we have the same desperation in seeking the Lord? Do we have that? Many times we read the Bible, we know some Bible truth, and then we use the Bible truth as a mirror to look at our life. We know that those truths are not really something that we experience. It is just some head knowledge. And then we ask the Lord to open up that truth to us so that it become personal to us. But many a times after we cried out a little while, nothing happened. Guess what? As we have said, our attention span is so short, it's so small. Then we just drift to something else. Not so with many brothers that was ahead of us, that has been before us. For example, again, if we use the example of watching a knee, there was this one time he wanted to see the reality of how the old man, the old life, was crucified together with Christ. This was a truth that he preached many a times, and yet it was just a head knowledge to him, and it bothers him to the uttermost. It bothers him so much that he cried out to the Lord. He said, "Lord, unless you reveal this truth to me, that it become a reality in my life, I'm not going to, from this point forward, preach to any other people." That was his desperation. That was his determination to know the truth, to enter into that truth. There are countless brothers in the past that are like this. Hudson Taylor, he was stumbling badly in his ministry. He was so discouraged, and yet he read John 15 about the vine and the branches. He wanted to enter into the abundant life of that picture. And then he cried out to the Lord again, again, and again, until the Lord showed him the wonderful thing of the exchanged life. It also happened to A.B. Simpson. He was mighty sick. He was about to die. He was seeking healing. And yet the Lord opened him up to see that, no, it is not the healing that you're looking for. It is the healer. And that's why we have that song himself in our hymn book. These people, they focus. They make their request. They would not let go of their request until they have entered into that truth. Today, I find that not too many people seems to be too serious about anything. Whether it be relationship, whether it be direction in life, people in general are holding to their cause not too seriously, especially when it comes to spiritual matter. Not too many are serious about their spiritual well-being, or to be certain that they have obtained the numerous promises that they also can enter into that spiritual truth that the word of the Lord promised. We just read it, and in fact, by the way, talking about that, I I understand that these days, especially many young people, they are serving the net and they get a lot of good spiritual help from serving the net, getting those wonderful spiritual principles. And those spiritual principles become helpful to a certain extent to them. But many a times, those spiritual principles that we receive from others, unfortunately, are very shallow to our life. Most of them, they remain as head knowledge. We never really enter into that truth. We never really come into contact with the Lord. Our eyes were never really truly open to see the Lord. Why is that? On one hand, we know a lot in our head, but on the other hand, our spiritual life is still so poor. The reason is because we have not paid a price, just like most other brothers and sisters that I mentioned that they did. They did pay a price to enter into that truth. Now, the Bible did not tell us how Bartimaeus know that Jesus is the Messiah. Maybe he heard it from someone who told him that this is the Messiah, that this is the Messiah that is described in the book of Isaiah. Or maybe Bartimaeus learned this thing from serving the net. But as good as it seems, as good as it may sound, this can only be head knowledge. And it will not do any good to him unless he personally meet with the Messiah himself. It is not much comfort for Bartimaeus to brag to his friend that Messiah passed through at that gate that day. If his friend asked him, you know, did you get to meet with Jesus since you know that he is a great Messiah? How would Bartimaeus answer that most crucial question? Isn't that what the Lord warned us for when he asked us to strive to enter into the narrow door? Because once the head of the house get up and shut the door, you will begin to stand outside of the door and you will knock. And you will say to the Lord, open up to us. And he will answer, I do not know where you come from. Well, you will then begin to remind the Lord that you ate and you drank in his presence, and that he taught in your street, and you find him also in the internet too. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you're from. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. No, the blind beggar does not want this to happen to him. He resolved that he must see Jesus personally. It is now or never. While there is still opportunity, I must see Jesus. This is the true salvation. We must learn the persistent prayer, just like this beggar. Brothers and sisters, you know what? We have many opportunities of blessings from the Lord. We're just coming out from youth retreat. We are about to have WCCC. There are great opportunities to meet God if only our heart attitude is right before him. Now, the call of Jesus, after Jesus heard this continuing cry of Bartimaeus and saw his determination to seek him, he stopped and said, call him here. How did the blind beggar respond to the Lord's call? How did he respond? How do we respond to the Lord Jesus when he called us? Would we procrastinate like those who are invited to the big banquet? That I have bought a piece of land, that I need to go and look at it, or that I have bought five oxen, that I need to try them out, or that I have just married a wife and I just couldn't come, or that I have this plan in my life that, sorry, Lord, maybe 2 years later? Or do we act like a blind beggar as soon as the Lord Jesus called him? There are two things the blind beggar does. The first thing that he does is that the Bible tells us that he actually threw away his garment, his outer garment. In other words, he cast away everything that might be in danger of flowing him down, that might be hindering him in coming to the Lord, that might be retarding his action. Those who come to the Lord Jesus must cast away the garment of self-sufficiency. They must be free from every weight and the sin, like that long garment that most easily tripped them and beset them from walking in this narrow path. That's the first thing that he did. He cast off that outer garment. You know that garment to a beggar probably is his only possession. And that probably is his protection as well from the heat of the sun or from the cold or from the rain. But as soon as the Lord Jesus called him, he said, this is it. He cast it off. He doesn't want this to become a hindrance to him from coming to the Lord. The first thing that he did. The second thing that he did, he start out to come to the Lord Jesus. Now, since this beggar is blind, he cannot see the way. How does he know how to come to where Jesus is? Let me ask you this question. How does he know? He is a blind guy. The scripture did not say that someone led him to the Lord, if you read it. Nobody is leading him to the Lord. Rather, Jesus, even when the Lord Jesus tell him to call him here, he was asking a person. He was asking a messenger to relay that message to the blind beggar. Today, the Lord is using many messengers, his servants, to relay the message of his call. Call him here. Bring him. Call him that they will come. We never know how this blind beggar come to meet with the Lord Jesus. We never know how. But there is one thing we know. The Lord Jesus is waiting to meet with him. How does the blind beggar know the way? He's blind and nobody is leading him. The question, brothers and sisters, is not whether you know the way to go to him or not. No, this is not the issue. But rather, are you taking action? That is the real issue. Are you taking a leap of faith in moving forward to meet with him, even though you don't know the way? Remember, the Lord once asked a man with a withered hand to stretch forth his hand in the synagogue? Think about that command. This guy has a withered hand. He could not move his hand. And yet the Lord Jesus said, stretch forth your hand. This almost sounds like a joke to the guy. But you know what? That guy, upon hearing the command of the Lord, he stretched forth his hand. And he was healed. By the same token, if the Lord called a blind man to come to meet with him, though he was blind, though he would not figure out the way, but if he would not argue with the Lord, but at once start out to come to him, he end up meeting the Lord Jesus himself. The key is to obey what the Lord has told us to do, even though when we don't quite know how to do it. That's important. Many a times we want to figure things out. If we do not figure things out, we will not move our butt. As long as we start to act on His command and on His command alone, He will be responsible for our action and our well-being. Let's remember that. Now, the interesting thing is, after the blind beggar came before the Lord, what did the Lord say to him? What do you want me to do for you? You say, well, you know, isn't this a needless question? The blind guy coming to you, why would you ask, what do you want me to do for you? Huh? Isn't that obvious enough? The answer is no, it is not obvious enough. Remember Peter and John, they went up to the gate of Beautiful, where they met a beggar. And the beggar was asking them for money. He was not asking for healing of his crippled feet, his lame beggar. This lame beggar, he was not hoping for a healing. He was hoping for money. We have said that the reason for Bartimaeus to become a beggar was because he was blind. He has no means of making a living. Brothers and sisters, you know what? This is the core problem in his life. Being poor and being a beggar is only a secondary cause. It's only, in computer term, a peripheral problem. The core problem is because he's blind. Jesus wanted to make sure that the beggar know what his core problem is. And that's the reason why he asked that question. What do you want me to do for you? Do you know your real problem? What is the core problem in the church of Laodicea? Why did the Christian in Laodicea think that they were rich and they need of nothing? Why did they fail to see the true condition of themselves, that they actually pushed the Lord outside of their door already, and the Lord was actually knocking at their door? Why did they fail to discover their true spiritual condition, that they were wretched, that they were miserable, poor and naked? Why? What's the problem? Because the Lord said that they were blind. They did not recognize that they were blind, that they need to buy eye save from the Lord. Brothers and sisters, do you know your core problem today? Yes, you know, I have a problem with my co-worker. I have a problem with my boss. I have a problem with brothers and sisters. I have a problem with everything in the world. But the Lord is asking you this question. What is your core problem? How we need to identify our true problem. Many a times when we come before the Lord, we think that, well, yeah, my career is it's going nowhere. My study, I have this thing, and on and on and on. We have a ton of needs when we want, and we want the Lord to help us. But could it be that we only have one fundamental problem, that we have not been able to see who Jesus really is to us in our life? Solving this problem is like removing the scale that blocks us from seeing Jesus. Remember Paul? That's exactly what happened to him. He has so many problems with the way, with Christianity, with the Lord of Moses and all of those things. Not until one day on the road to Damascus, the Lord removed that scale from his eyes. And all of a sudden, all his other problems got resolved, because he now can clearly see who Jesus is in his life. How we need to come and ask the Lord
for the right question. Oh Lord, have mercy on me. I want to see you, Lord. I want to see you. Nothing else. If I see you, all my other problems will no longer be problems. I know the core problem in my life is none other than the fact that I have been blind to see who you are and what you really mean to my life. Many a times we do not have because we do not ask. And we ask, we do not receive because we ask for the wrong things. And we spend it on our own pleasures. But to the beggar, he asked the Lord one simple thing. Lord, I want to receive my sight. That's it. That's his core problem. Not his poverty. Not his being a beggar. Now, the interesting thing is after the blind beggar's eyes opened, the Lord Jesus said, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately, he regained his sight and began following him on the road. You see, as soon as the blind beggar's eyes opened, wow, the Lord said, go your way. In other words, now your core problem is resolved. Now you can go and live your life. Do your own thing. And the interesting thing is, the blind beggar did not go his way. You would think, and I would think, that since he was blind, I don't know whether this guy was blind from his birth, I don't know. But there must be so many things that he wanted to see. He probably would like to go to Disneyland. Or, I don't know. There are so many things that he heard that he could not experience because of his blindness. But now his eyes are open. You would think that he would just want to travel the whole world and do his things and be fulfilled and so on and so forth. But the interesting thing in here is that as soon as he regained his sight, he began following the Lord Jesus on the road, in defiance of the suggestion of the Lord. And the interesting thing for the college student is that, you know, the first part of this chapter, we have the rich young ruler who came to the Lord and asked for, how is it, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? We know at the end of that story is that the Lord say, come and follow me. The Lord said, come and follow me. But the unfortunate thing was that the rich young ruler went away, sorrowful. Why? Because he failed to see who Jesus really is. If he had known that this good teacher, which he called, is actually the Son of God, is actually his all in all, is actually his Messiah, is actually his master, would he still be foolishly hold on to those temporal wealth and position that he treasures so much? He would react exactly the same way as Paul. Whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ. Brothers and sisters, do you know that in Paul's term, knowing Christ, the surpassing value of coming to know Christ is the same as what this blind beggar is asking? To be able to see Christ for who he is? Open my eyes, Lord, that I may see you. And this is exactly what happened when Peter saw the compassionate look of the Lord in the high court. It just broke his heart. He was forever a slave because his eyes now see who Jesus really is. When Stephen was about to die, he saw the glorious face of the Lord Jesus welcoming him from heaven. That was his encouragement to be faithful unto death. And when Mary saw how Jesus wept with her when she lost her own brother, she discovered the sympathy, the humanity of the Lord Jesus. That's how she discovered that's how her heart is captured by the Lord. Do you have a private encounter in an unmistakable way with the Lord, that when He revealed Himself to you, just like how He revealed to Peter, to Stephen, to Mary, that you cannot be the same again. You cannot go back to the world. You cannot muddle your life again. Yeah, there are times that we still fail, but there is a difference. When you see the Lord for who He really is to you, you can never be the same. May the Lord have mercy on us. May the Lord really give us that constant cry in our heart, Lord, open my eyes. I want to see You. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You so much for using Your words to remind us of what we truly lack. That many a times we think that we have multiple issues, multiple problems in our life. And yet, truly, the only thing that we really lack is to be able to see who You really are to us, what You really mean to our life. Lord, just like the song we sang, open our eyes. We want to see You. And Lord, help us not to be so, to have this short attention span. Help us to be persistent in our prayer, just like the beggar, regardless of the opposition from the environment, the distraction from the environment. He would not give up. He will continue to cry out to You until You answer him. Lord, give us that determination. Open our eyes so that we can see You, so that our life would be right again with You. In Your precious name we pray.